This morning we continue our series on I Am. Jesus was telling that he was the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. He was in many places in the Bible, folks. Jesus speaks about being the I Am. In a lot of places you might miss where he says that I am. Because, you know, in John chapter 6, where the disciples got into the boat and they were going across the lake that night, and it was about dark, and the storm, the gale come in, and it stirred the water. And we know that when it did, that Jesus came to them that night on walking on the water. Jesus said when he got there, "Do not be afraid, I am here." You know, that's pretty amazing that he was telling them at that given time, "I am the I am." You see, a lot of times, folks, we miss what Jesus really is. We miss that relationship that we could have. We have a relationship. We know that Jesus is God's Son, but we really miss what is available to us. And so this morning, as we look at the resurrection of Lazarus, and as we look at the power that God has shown in Jesus Christ, I want you to just think about your life. Has God ever shown you power, his power, in your life? I hope he has. Because I can tell you story after story after story of how God has used his power in my life. And unless that you can feel his presence, unless you feel the Holy Spirit that lives within you, unless you're feeling that, then you're really not in touch with who Jesus is. You're not really in touch with what you could be. You may be happy where you're at, but what you could be is what he was trying to tell Martha and Mary in this in the verses 17 through 27. You know, I think Jesus at this point was coming to the conclusion of his ministry here on this earth. He knew that it was winding down. We're coming to the cross. We're coming Easter Sunday. We'll be here before you know it. And Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, we're looking at Jesus' trip to Jerusalem. And we know that it's coming. We know he's beginning to try to teach the disciples that I am everything that you will ever need. I am it in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so we see that in the verses that as Jesus' ministry is coming to a conclusion and the climax pretty much of the cross, we're seeing it's kind of right here. And Jesus is using Lazarus as an example of himself, and I think. And as we hear the words, let us read the words, 17 through 27. John 11, 17 through 27, if you have your Bibles. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. And when Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." And Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Then she returned to Mary, and she called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, the teacher is here and wants to see you. So Mary immediately went to him. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we hear this reading of God's word, and we pick up in the 17th verse, and we have to stop and we have to kind of look at this story. I don't know about y'all. I like things to be a picture. If you show me a picture, I'll remember it forever. You write it down, hand it to me, and I might or might not remember it. That's just me, you know. I just like to look at something. But if you look at this picture, folks, we see that Jesus and the disciples, they were not there when Lazarus got sick. Yet, if you look back in the story, you'll see that Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick. He was asleep, he said. He told the disciples, he's asleep. And so we know that if he is speaking to the disciples and they're not there, and you know they didn't have a cell phone, and they didn't have phone pay phones, and they didn't have the things that we've come through life with. But if they had that opportunity, he knew everything. So he's telling the disciples that Lazarus is sick. And so they're saying, well, Jesus, if he's sick, if he's sleeping, you know, then he'll get well if he just leave him alone. We don't want to go back, because they were trying to stone you the last time we were there in Judea. And we don't need to go back there, because they're going to kill you this time. And Jesus is saying, you know, yes, we're going back. And we're going back not because that I just want to go back and raise Lazarus, or I want to go back and heal Lazarus. We're going back so that God can be glorified. We're going back so the glory of God can be exemplified to everyone, that everyone will be able to see that I am God's Son. Knowing that this is really, really going to get under the skin of a lot of people. You know, these people that were over the temple, they were already stirred up. And when he comes back to do something like this, nobody knew it but himself and God the Father. But when he is coming back, we know, folks, that he is thinking about, this is not only Lazarus that has died. This is fixing to be me. I'm going to be killed as well. But I'm going to be killed for the remission of sins for many, for everyone. He knew this. And so we see in this story that as he comes and we see that as he gets out of sight of town and they meet him, that Martha met him. Usually it was Mary that was his closest friend. It seemed like the one that would run to meet him, the one that was always sitting at his feet listening, the one that was always more interested in Jesus, but it was Martha. Mary was hanging out at the house with the people there with her that was mourning. And so Martha meets Jesus, and he's trying to explain to Martha what is really available to her and what is fixing to happen with Lazarus. Martha, being just like we would be, folks. We're no different. She's no different. It's the very same thing. She said, yes, Lord, he will rise. It will be when everyone rises on the last day at the resurrection. But Jesus is telling her, I am the resurrection and I am life. Life, folks, is something that each one of us treasures more than anything in the world. We get to feeling a little sick. First thing we do, we run to the doctor because we want to get to feeling better. We don't like a sick life. We don't like a life that we can't participate in the things we like to do. I know sometimes I wait longer than I should. I'll get to feeling that I probably need something done to my heart. I'll put it off and continue to do what I want to do. And then I'll have to go, and they have to do more than they would have if I'd have went earlier. But life is what we cherish. We will not put it off if I have to have something done to my heart, I will not put it off forever. I will get to Nashville to get it taken care of. And so this is the way we live our lives. We live our lives thinking about our own life, about the life of our loved ones. We live our life knowing that our loved ones or yourself will pass away one day first, and it's going to be a very, very sad day. That's what we know. We've lived through enough of this to know and recognize that. And Jesus knew. He knew that they were dealing with grief. He was dealing with grief because he knew that Lazarus had passed. He knew that there was probably a stench. He knew the things of what they were telling him. But he also knew that by raising Lazarus, the people would see what had happened. And through the raising of Lazarus and through the raising of God raising him on the third day, that the people would turn away from all of these, all this legalism and all these people that are in the temple that think that you've got to do things, as Brian said, you know, a while ago. We've done away with that legalism. We moved past that, folks, because of Jesus Christ and his death upon the cross. So we know that that legalism, he was trying to show them and trying to get past that. But they were so engraved, the people of the temple, the high priest, they were so engraved in everything that they wanted it to be a certain way, and they knew they had to get rid of Jesus. And so by this taking place, he is preparing Mary and Martha. He says, he told Martha to tell Mary to come to him. He wanted to talk to her as well. And she went to him immediately, it says. Folks, Jesus asked me to come to him a long, long time ago and live a life with him. I didn't do it. I chose not to. Had I had my brother laying there that Jesus was wanting to talk to me about, maybe I would have been interested in going immediately. But it's the same principle, folks. We have our own sins, our own things that we deal with each and every day. And he's saying to Mary, come, I want to speak to you. He's saying to Mike Wimberly, come, I want to speak to you, Mike. I want you to come and be a disciple of mine. I want you to get more than what you're getting. You know who I am. You know I'm God's son. You know everything about me that you need to know, but I want to give you more. I want to pour out more upon you. And we don't reach for it, folks. I didn't. I know there's people here that haven't. Until you get later in years or something happens and causes you to think about it more than it has. And then we reach for the more. We reach to see what Jesus has that we actually need and can understand and enjoy. My life has been 110% better. And that's no lie, folks. It's been 110% better than the life I was living because he gave me more. When I decided that I would step out and have that relationship with him, the same relationship he wanted Martha and Mary to have and to understand, he wanted them to know that this is who I am. You know that, Martha. You know this, Mary. But I'm going to show you a little more. I'm going to show you the power of the Father. Because if you know me, you know the Father is what he was saying. The same power exists in me that exists in the Father. You know, folks, it's hard when we live in a world that we live in today. There's many, many things going on in this world. And we get, it bothers me. I don't know about y'all. I try not to worry about it. Because I can't do anything about it. I'm just living in the world. But there's a lot of things happening in this world. And there's things that I'd give anything if I could just do a little bit to make it different. I can't do anything but live here. I can't do anything but pray about it. But I know when I pray about it that God hears these prayers. He hears your prayers. He hears my prayers. And I know if we continue to pray, and if something's on our heart enough, the peace that you will have, that peace from prayer and other people praying, that peace will outweigh the trouble that you're looking at and the trouble that you're facing. When I've been sick and I've been in the hospital so many times, folks, y'all can't imagine how I feel the prayer that y'all lift up for me. I can't tell you that, because if I tried to tell you, you'd think, well, Mike, you're crazy. But you can feel that prayer, that presence of the Holy Spirit living within you. That's what Jesus wanted for Martha and Mary. He wanted them to feel this Holy Spirit, the power he has. And he wanted them to not only feel it, but to see it. He wanted them to have life and to have it more abundantly. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how long Lazarus lived after he was raised from the dead. It might have been, they were trying to kill him the minute they heard that Jesus had raised him from the dead, because they said, if we don't kill Lazarus and get him out of here, then they're all going to believe. We got to do away with him. So we don't know what was happening with Lazarus after this, but we do know that he was at the festival and he sat at the table. And we do know that he was there when Mary anointed Jesus. It tells us, the Bible tells us over in 12, in chapter 12. So we know that he was still alive during part of this time. I don't know how it all went down. We'll get to ask him someday when we get to heaven, how'd that go down, Lazarus? How did it all happen, you know? Isn't that going to be pretty cool when we can sit around and talk to some of these people, you know? And we can find out how the story really was, you know. The rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, we can get the rest of the story. Only thing, we can't come back and tell nobody. But we'll know, and that's going to be pretty cool, you know, anyway. So that's where we're at. But if you stop and you think about this, folks, I know we got communion, I don't want to get wound up, but if you start and you think about a couple of Sundays ago when I was talking about Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You remember us talking about that in the darkness that we lived in. And the places I've been that are so dark, folks. Not only dark because there's no light, but dark because there was no one that believed in Jesus Christ. The darkness that I have lived in. And so when you stop and you think about this darkness and how Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Think about what he says to Lazarus right before he raises him from the dead. We didn't read that, but I want to show you just a few words right here. In 40, let's look at 41, starting with 41, chapter 11, 41. It says, so they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. You know, folks, he called him out of that grave. He called him out of that darkness, out of that place that no voice could hear. He could hear no voice, but he heard Jesus. He called him out of that darkness, where? Out of that grave into the light, where people could see him and people could feel him and touch him and unwrap him and turn him loose, because this man is a great, great witness for God because of what he's just happened to him. I can't help but believe that Lazarus was a very godly man before all of this happened. From what I hear and read about, you would think that he was probably a man that had a relationship with Jesus, and yet now he has more. He has more. So, folks, he brought him into the light. just as we talked about, I am the light of the world. He brought him into the light, the worldly light, the sunlight that people might see. But what happened when they brought him into the light? He brought others into the light of God. He brought others into that light that they might believe and believe even more and have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what he's offered to us. Every bit of this. We weren't there to see Lazarus come out of that grave. We wasn't there for me to get my knife and cut them bandages off of him, the grave clothes. We wasn't there for all of that. But I can read and I can tell you that it all happened. And I can tell you that this is God's word. This is what he says. And this is what Jesus says. And this is what has actually happened. And through that resurrection, Jesus was sad during that time. We know that. And it said he wept. But folks, not only was he grieving maybe that Lazarus had been where he was and had to go through that, you know, had been dead for 4 days, but he was grieving because he knew himself. We know ourselves lots of times that we're looking at something. We're looking at something ourselves as we look at someone else. Jesus was looking at Lazarus. He was looking at the resurrection. He knew this was coming to him, and it was just a few days down the road. He knew this was going to happen. And he wept. Jesus knew this was going to be a tough, tough time, folks. And he even said, Lord, if you can, you know, Father, if you can, take this cup from me. He didn't want to go through that death on that cross if there was any other way. But there wasn't. That was the way that it had to be. And he was willing to die and to give up his life that we could have eternal life, that our sins could be forgiven. He said to the disciples before he was the night before he was crucified, he took some bread. Brian, if you would, if you'll come, we'll move on into our communion service. And folks, I want you to think, stop and to think as we prepare to move into our communion service, that this is truly the body and the blood of Christ. This is what he gave up. This is his body and his blood. It's the body that died upon the cross. It's the cup of blood that is our salvation. It is his body and blood that we are celebrating here today. Nothing to do with us. Not one thing to do with us. But for him, he offers this to us, and that we might remember him and all that he offers. The night that he was betrayed, he was sitting there with the disciples, and he, after they had gotten through and they were reclining, he reaches over like Brian is now, and he gets the bread, and he tears the loaf, and he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." And he gave thanks to God that that would be the case. And he likewise, he had passed the bread, and he likewise reached over and he got the cup. And he said, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people." And he says, "It is sealed with my blood. This is my blood." And likewise, he gave thanks to God for the body and the blood that we're going to take today. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for the body and the blood of Christ. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you loved us enough that you would give us an opportunity to have eternal life, to be able to come and to celebrate the body and the blood. Lord Jesus, you just bless us so, so much. And the main blessing is the forgiveness of all of our sin. We thank you and we praise you. We ask now, Father, that you would just make for us this be this body, this bread and this wine be the body and the blood of Christ. And we ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen. You got the Lord's Prayer up there. If you would, we'll go ahead with the, and it's up on the screen, and we will have the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you have your cups, and at this time, it is Brian. I'll take mine first. The body of Christ, which is given for us. The blood of Christ, which is shed for us. Which is given for you, Brian, in the blood of Christ, which is shed for you. Amen. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but to me, as I partake in the body and the blood of Christ, it sometimes just, it'll almost overwhelm you. That you can actually feel and think about what took place that night. And think about how Jesus allowed us to be able to remember him. And be able to think about our sins as they are forgiven. I hope that this is never something that you just do lightly. That you always feel the presence of Jesus, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. We'll close with just a short prayer, and then we're going to let Brian go ahead. Father, we thank you. You're so awesome, so good to us, giving us your Son that we can have more in life than what we knew that was available in the very beginning. Father, the longer we live, the older we get, the more that we realize that you have given to us and you continue to strengthen and give each and every day. That we can enjoy life, life in general, but life with you, everlasting life, life that will never end. We thank you so, so much. Father, we just ask that you be with each one of us. Forgive each one of us of our sins, for we know that they are many. And Father, we ask that you strengthen us to go into the world, being the disciple you called us to be. We ask each and everything in Jesus' name. Amen.